America's creativity isn't all spent on the arts. In fact, some of the country's best writing and most innovative thinking comes out of the idea factories of advertising. James Othmer spent years as the creative director of advertising giant Young & Rubicam. Now, he writes novels. He tells uproarious tales from his old life in a book called Adland, the big budgets and high-pressure, chaotic environment at the agency made work intoxicating for a young writer.
We were naive as creative people and as advertisers. We were encouraging people to do this. After I left advertising, after I wrote a novel, after I had time to say, what have I done with my career and what role did my work play in influencing people to do good or bad, then that I think, you know, the mortgage, the lending crisis happens. You know, what role did advertising play in that? Citibank, the winning tagline from the agency that won the business was live richly. Is it evil? Is it insidious? I'm not sure. But in retrospect, when you put it in the context of what was yet to come, it probably wasn't the best advice for consumers.
But of course, as an advertising creative director, it's not your business to worry about the value of what it is that you're promoting. It's your business to figure out how to promote it.
Yeah. In advertising, I worked with some wonderfully creative and ethical people. And I think when you work for a big brand at a big agency or even a smaller agency that works for a big brand, brands are increasingly aware of their image now. And they're wary to do the wrong thing or say the wrong thing or offend or speak an untruth because there's transparency more and more now on the internet. If you do an offensive ad, people will flame it, blog about it, protest you. They'll put out a flame that says, we're all going to have a protest and ban this. Look at what they did to Glenn Beck. You know, that's a perfect example of people talking to advertisers and saying, we don't like this message. We're not going to support your products if you support this content provider. So I think brands are starting to realize that people want more ethical and socially responsible messages. And they don't want you to just talk the talk. They want you to walk it as well. I see a big difference in advertising people now, even from when I was working full head on at it in the late 90s and early 2000s. I see people coming into the business now where they're not waiting to have their midlife crisis in their 40s like I did and say, what did I do? They're actually going in now. They write the brief themselves for the life they want to live before they even start into advertising. And they say, I want to work for a company, for brands, and do work that is meaningful and has meaning. And if it crosses that line, I really don't want to do it.
There was an account in your book of an ad that maybe didn't start out as altruistic, but certainly did turn into it. There was a campaign, must have been early in your career, 1994, for D-Day veterans?
Yes, AT&T was the largest account at NW Air at the time. AT&T asked us to look into kind of altruistic or well-intentioned ways to promote goodwill with the consumer public. And we came up with an idea that it was the anniversary, the 50th anniversary of the D-Day invasion. We brought more than 10 D-Day veterans, American D-Day veterans, back to Normandy. We put them on Omaha and Utah Beach. We took them to the cemetery to visit some of the fallen heroes that they had known. In one instance, it was a soldier's brother, and he hadn't seen his grave in 50 years. And it was just a wonderful, moving experience. What it actually had to do with the phone company, I'm not quite sure, but it was a terrific spot. AT&T donated quite a bit of money to World War II Veterans Foundations, and it was a smashing success. And as far as a high point in my career, it was wonderful. It was the best thing I was ever involved with because I could go home and put my head on the pillow and say, wow, we did something nice today.
Well, and even to the viewer, there are nice things. I mean, the conceit, as I remember, was that these veterans would be talking to each other. They'd be using their phones to arrange to do this. But you were there in real life. These were real veterans that you talked to, and they were filmed having real experiences.
The only conceit that we had was we said, use the phone to talk to each other and say, hey, will I see you over there for the reunion? And it was incredibly touching. We gave them so much space and so much room, and we backed off when we were filming on the beach and in the cemetery. And it was just a wonderful experience, and it was real. And to see cynical producers and creative directors and account executives, you know, off to the side weeping over a commercial was something that I had never encountered, and it was something, you know, pre-Private Ryan that I'll never forget.
Right now, for instance, I can't even find another guy that was with me there. From between the dead and growing old and and not wanting to remember.
Go ahead. Hey, you're going to the 50th, of course.
Yeah. Out of the ocean, all you can see was ships, ships, ships.
I think of the men we lost here. I guess wonder why.
Freedom.
And you were born just 2 weeks after I left to come over here to England.
And I go to a ball game when they played a Star Spangled Banner. I think of my brother John.
AT&T invites you to join us in saluting the true heroes of D-Day and all those who have fought for freedom.
Did you worry at the time about having to see the line between sentiment and advertising? I mean, obviously everybody on the team, both sides, felt the reality of it, but you has to also have been aware that you were creating an ad.
We were creating an ad, and the danger would be to offend people who take that, rightly so, quite seriously. So if we pushed the usage of the phone, or if we were to throw in, you know, we'll give you a 1999 calling rate this month if you act now message, it would have been a colossal failure. We were aware that there was a fine line that we were walking, and if we were going to try to push sales or push anything beyond a well-intentioned brand message, we could get ourselves in quite a bit of trouble. So
there's actually a lesson there, isn't there? Sometimes advertising works best when it doesn't advertise.
Yeah, and I think, again, companies that demonstrate goodwill, that demonstrate good ethical policies, they can advertise that. There's plenty of companies out there now that are well-intentioned, they're sending out good messages, they realize that socially responsible aspects of the way they do business, and not just the way they talk about it and advertise the way they do business, is more critical now than ever. On the other hand, it's easier than ever to sneak insidious, untruthful, offensive messages past consumers because there's so many messages coming at them now. You're not quite sure sometimes if you're watching a TV show or reading an advertisement in a magazine or reading a piece of content, because the lines are blurring between what's authentic content and what is advertising.
James Othmer's memoir of his career in advertising is called Adland. He's just finished his second novel, Holy Water.